So I'm gonna see, are we trusting Lee to pick up? I'm just gonna put this under you. It's been a week of all sorts of weird things for me. First of all, I didn't have a phone for 3 days until 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. After this, I was just explaining to some people this morning I had to leave the market, which some of you may see me at, to run home, and this young fellow was waiting for me because my phone wasn't working. Well, he had a tremendous job finding my phone bugs to get to figure out why. And I got home at about 20 after 1, and he'd already been waiting for me for a good hour and a half. And he'd been under my place. And some of you have seen there, you know, my mobile home, and it's an older one. And he'd been under there several times and couldn't find it. And eventually, what he ended up having to do was crawl under the new porch and bash up a piece of wood out, which he said was pretty rotten, so that was okay. Not to my house, but for him. Finding an old box that no wonder any phone calls ever came in. And being a nice, young, entrepreneuring young man, he then proceeded to make a big long thing, which he told me he stapled because he could see people went back and forth under there, which is true, to turn on my water on in the spring and off in the fall for my cooler I'm above. And he made a box outside so the next person could just go straight to this box very easily and have it start. That's very practical, very, very practical. And I was very impressed with this young man, because he was obviously intent on getting his job done and doing it well. So I said to him, because he looked at you very young, I said, how did you get this job? He said, I believe I got it because I had 2 years of cable telecommunications training in college. And he said, and they sent me to Vancouver for 3 weeks instruction, and since then it's learn on the job. And he said, it's these jobs like this. Like he was telling me the day before he had drilled something and drilled into an irrigation thing, and there was water all over. But it was a good thing because the water didn't go where it could have been bad. It was, so I had to laugh at him. He said, every time I have a job like yesterday and today, it makes the next job easier. And isn't that what we do, is that we experience life? You know, I was sitting in the market yesterday, and a lady came and I do these questions for $15, because I love doing single questions, and this lady sat down and she asked me some question about a relationship that she was in. And she was right at that age, and women will know what I mean, and when we come into our 40s, I had a question, I don't ask their name, I don't ask what their age is, I just answer the question. And I just like, I'm on a radio show. Could you give me a drink of water? I forgot about that. Thanks. My throat is gluing up here. Anyway, she said to me, oh, you are so wise. That's a great answer. And I think she told me 3 times I was wise, and I was thinking, that's how I have my hair. You learn from experience. You learn. What's an impractical spirituality is when you don't take anything that you know and apply it into the material world. But I always wanted to go out of my week. Thank you so much, Trish. I wanted to go into the week. Today I got up after the disappointing soccer game to me, which no one else cares about. You've been in my living room, you would have known. I sat down and I went and got a whole pile of books because, as you know, I usually come armed with quotes and everything. And I sat there and I had 4 different books I'd taken quotes from. And I knew I was going to speak from my mind today. Typed it all up, had it all ready, got it clear in my head. I thought I'd printed it out because I was printing some new brochures, just about out of them. So I printed some more brochures, which, by the way, are at the back there if anyone wants to find out more about the other work I do. And you know how when you close a program it says, do you want to save or not? I thought, no, I don't want to save this. I didn't print it. 20 minutes of work gone. And so I looked at that and I went, being a practical person, I went, oh well, I guess we won't do that. So no big notes except what's in my head and what's in my book. Because what I find so often is that we separate our day-to-day living and our spiritual practice. Some of us have very big rituals that we go through. I'm just thinking, I remember being married to a man that, you know, got up at 2:30 every morning to meditate for about 2 hours. I'm not married to him anymore, by the way. And you might gather one of the reasons. And so, because he wanted to go to bed, I'm a night person, so he wanted to go to bed, for goodness knows, and then get mad because my groups would get a little rowdy at times. So, whatever. Anyway, but my ritualistic has been much more on an ongoing, what I call practical, as I go through life. Remembering that every thought I have is a thought that's going out to create in my reality. And that the basic aspect, which we know is what we put out, we get back. But what are we thinking? What are we doing? How are we putting that out? What are we creating? I tell you, it's been a few days. Now, last May, I got a speeding ticket. I got a speeding ticket, the first one in years, because I was busy talking to a friend as we were going up to Kelowna, just when they had opened up that newly part of the highway they'd been working on forever. And it was so good. I put my foot down and I was yakking away and I was literally saying, "Isn't this highway great?" Over you go. What I hadn't realized, because I wasn't paying attention, was that I had gone into a 70K construction zone. $171.25 later, with the $25 saving by paying at a certain time, that was done. Fast forward to, gosh, May. Now that was May, it was May last year, and it must have been, was it about the same time this year? Oh dear, I have to think about that. What's going on in May? Anyway, I had just gone and had one of those sugar tests they do, you know, you don't eat, and then they give you that horrible sweet stuff, which I have big difficulty with. And I had gone to do something, instead of going from the lab straight home, that was a mistake. I'd gone and done something, and coming home, I'm coming along South Main here, and I notice my eyes are really fuzzy. And I'm looking at this light down there going, boy, you know, that light is really, really fuzzy. Driving along the road, not thinking, not paying attention. Over. What? What am I doing? I can't be speeding. I mean, it's not. There's a school zone down there, if you haven't noticed. It, well, I was. I've driven down that road 100 times. I never seen the school sign. But I was concentrating. I want you to get the picture. I was concentrating on the light, not the road I was driving on, because I really was blurry. And I was thinking, I've got to get home because I don't know what's going on here. I can't see very well. I can see well enough to drive just another $171.25. Because it's a school zone. I paid them very graciously because, as I will talk about tithing later, you will find that if you don't tithe in an appropriate manner, one of the laws is it will be taken from you somewhere else. It's one of the ones we don't like to talk about. But my license is up for renewal. My birthday is next month, and I will be the great old age of 66, and I have to get a new license. No big deal, right? Except I get a little notice in the mail saying, da-da-da-da-da-da, so many points, three points, another one, da-da-da-da, 3 points. You owe $300.
Oh, yes.
You cannot get your license until you have paid $300. Now, you add this up, right? So this is what happens when you don't pay attention. When you're not being practical and paying attention to where you are, you're all of a sudden, but what disturbed me more than being upset about another $300 because I was contemplating buying an air trip back to Toronto and decided at the moment, forget that, that's half the effort, was, well, I was thinking that anyway, so. When I went to the bank to pay this, out of my mouth came, here, I'm paying this effing bill. Now, this is not normally me. And I went, what are you doing, Cowie girl? That's how I talk to myself. What are you doing? Because I was the one that wasn't paying attention, number one. But the worst part of it, as a prosperity teacher, I had just really not honored the money that I had to be able to pay the bill. I was tipped. Not for any real, I mean, it was my issue. But it, you know how sometimes you say something? The poor bank teller just sort of looked at me and blinked, and I thanked her very much because I wished her a happy day and got out of there as fast as I could. On to the next thing. No phone, still, you know. But you see, what happens is that this is where we're not paying attention. How many times do we not noticing what we're thinking, or we're not paying attention to the task at hand? We do so many things automatically, like driving. Well, I drive automatically all the time, but I have really become to be aware now of speed signs, I'll tell you. Because in another 5 years, who knows? Because I found out when I read the bill through, if you have more than 4 points, you have to pay extra. So just be aware of that. Some of us, I thought they did away with the point system they gave when they raised the fines. I guess not. Anyway, what I'm getting at primarily is pay attention with what's going on, where you are. The first one I got because I was talking. The second one I got because I was worried about my eyes. I wasn't paying attention to the road or where I was. I couldn't have even told you where I was on the road, actually. So I went, oh, school zone? Oh, I guess the Lutherans are school zone. Like, question, like, what? But the worst for me was not having an appropriate attitude around dollars and money. Now, some of you know, and some of you don't, that I also do a lot of clearing work for people. And especially since this year, since taking the UN method, which has sped up my work incredibly, I'm collecting, creating, whatever you want to call it, clients from all over. And it's particularly more and more, I'm getting a lot of people who are into network marketing who want to make money. Very nice for me, because they pay me to clear the blocks that they have. And so it's brought more to my attention lately about the prosperity of what's going on in the world and how things are looking. For instance, because I take Visa and MasterCard, and I've been doing this for many, many years, I've never had to worry about people when they give me the Visa or MasterCard number at all. But in the last few months, several times I have had a decline. Because the bills, and I know by the number they give me, it's because they need to put more money on their account. And I haven't really had that for years. So that's a signal to me that a lot of people out there are wondering what's going on. Now, I had that issue many, many years ago, basically because of other circumstances, not quite like they are now, but they were in my life. So I understand what that's like when you juggle Peter to people, and especially when people are looking for answers from people like myself and other ones unto us that do the kind of work I do. So what it brings me into an awareness is what are we, how are we blocking, how are we stopping that flow? And before I go into some of the other stuff I want to talk about, I just want to tell you something that happened to us. Last summer, I led a small group of us in a prosperity study group. We started off studying Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, which I have in quotes, that was on the piece of paper that disappeared. And then we studied the science, for 6 weeks we did that. Then we did 6 weeks on the science of getting rich. And again, on the very last day, because I knew that would be the last day we'd be meeting because I was going to be starting to travel again, I ran across a small Catherine Ponder book. Now, how many here are familiar with Catherine Ponder? Only a few of you. She's written a lot of books on prosperity using a Christianity-based look at how to create prosperity. So it's a very, this data process was a thin book. So what I did, and I was looking for the, I thought I had saved all the sayings that I, she's a great affirmation person, and I thought I'd save them, I was going to run some off to bring to you. So anyway, I read, because I typed up every affirmation that she had in there. Now, a hobby of mine is actually looking at affirmations really closely because I find that the majority of people do not understand how affirmations work. They use them more to affirm what they want. I agree. But real blessing and an affirmation is to find and discover what doesn't agree with it. But if you say, I am prosperous, and then inside you have a little voice that says, oh no, you're not, or forget it, or whatever else you have in there, what you want is to clear that, because that's what's blocking you. Until you know in your system of knowing that you are prosperous, you will struggle one way or another. You'll have it, it'll disappear. How many readings I've done for people and I'll just say money comes in and it disappears through your hands, doesn't it? And they say, yeah, I can't hold on to it. That's a program. That's a program that you have inside that runs. So you might be creating mega bucks and it'll just disappear, it'll run away. Does anybody recognize that in here from themselves at all? Yeah, put your hands up. Yeah, a lot of people have that. And I find, you know, it's very great, nice to be able to figure out where all that programming comes from people. But it's like, the affirmation. So anyway, I went back and I wrote every affirmation down that occurred, like that was in the book. And there was one that stuck out to me a lot. So much so that I began using it. Within 2 weeks, my own prosperity shifted all around. Hi there, how are you today? You coming up to say hello? That's okay. Once they come see grandma, you know what it is. A couple of weeks time, I'll have my granddaughter here saying hello, but she's bigger now, so. Although I don't know about that, she's pretty athletic. So I'm gonna think about where it was now.
The affirmation that you said was.
Oh yeah, and so the prosperity, one of the things she said was, and she always tells little stories that help this helped and succeeded with people. And remember, this Christianity based, but the book says, Lord, prosper me now. Short, sweet, that's it. I began using that because it struck me, because what I find with a lot of affirmations is basically, I look at them and knowing how the subconscious works and knowing how the mind works, I could see that a lot of them don't work. And I used one for many, many years that was kind of long and very brain orientated, and that there'll always be more than enough to do what I want, when I want, how I want, and I managed to thread that very well. But Lord, and I use my name, whatever it is that you, whether you want to call God, Goddess, Spirit, Universe, I use Divine Essence because that's how it feels to me, prospers me now, within days, I notice a shift and a change. And sometimes I forget, I'm going to align myself again in the direction of what I'm wanting to create. So how we think is going to go out there to create for you, and this is the practicality, actually some of you about how I believe that every thought is a prayer. Ingrid did a wonderful job about that last week, and we talked about, and I mentioned that every thought is a prayer, because every thought is going out. And if those of you who are feeling new to metaphysics, it's like to us, and if anyone has trouble with a God, I have a book back there called The Secrets of Living Happily, and it shows you how to change a word. And I bought two of my books today, which I'm giving a deal on if you want to buy it. The other one is this one that I'm going to work for in a minute. And the whole concept, now I've got to, gosh, I hate this getting older, you know. I used to be able to go side tripping all over the place and come back exactly where I ended. Now that I'm getting older, I kind of get lost in a maze. So Trish, what was the last words I said before I stopped?
My handbook's for sale.
Oh yeah, no, before then. That was my side trip. Every thought is a prayer, right. And that'll do. I'll go back. I'll rewind. Join, rewind. I was telling somebody the other day, I just hold that thought, that, you know, when I do those readings using three numbers, I said, so often now I drop the third number, I can't hold it anymore. I said, maybe you should just go to one, and I end up feeling silly, you know. But ask for three numbers. What was that third number again? Brain truth, that's what it is. But if we could just accept that we are in this region, I know what I was talking about, the metaphysical principle is that God equals an energy that is responding to you, that loves you unconditionally, that loves you absolutely, and so anything you want, you can have. But because most people don't know what they're thinking, what ends up happening, they get scrambled eggs or spaghetti, which is often how I see their lives, and then they wonder why. Especially people with five birth paths, they're great for that. And so it's a matter of really recognizing what is it I'm really wanting and staying clear to it. And that gets into one of the principles which I'll get, which is goal setting, which I'm going to get to in a minute. On creating wealth for yourself, an abundant life, a life which works. So that you are running what I call practical and implementing 24/7, except when we begin to forget and go off and do say and say crazy things, is that you are able to create. And if you are committed to that, then you do the work. Because one part of it is the consciousness of understanding, and the other part is clearing out your programming that's created the incidences and the situations that you get yourself into. And how we recognize those is by, have they happened before? And that's why age, I was just doing a group for a bridal party on Friday night. They came up from Vancouver and they came to my house for a psychic party. I thought that was pretty neat. They were all young. They were, I think the oldest was like 26, and they were all getting married and in committed relationships, and I almost couldn't believe it. The youngest was 21, oldest was 26, and they were all hooked up. That's different than what it was a few years ago, maybe in their 30s or whatever. But anyway, and a lot of the girls weren't engaged or weren't ready. They're asked about their book boyfriends, and they're all hesitant. And I said, they're really young yet. They're not going to want to, you know, I really had to watch my wording, because you don't want them they're all hoping for the ring. Well, I said, how do I get them to give me a ring? Right. Anyway, high of your dream, girl, have your dream. I said, oh, how come you're not engaged? You don't have to have a ring to get engaged. Well, she's got to save enough money up to get a ring. Well, yeah, right. Give me 5 years there, she'll be back. Anyway, it was fun. It was good. So, let's just make one thing clear, is that we create by how we think. Now, there's another component. We create by the energy we put behind the thoughts. That's why, by me being very rude in the bank, I didn't start to say anything, by the way, not the other word. By me being rude, giving that energy, I have to negate that, because everything is done on energetic lines. Something has to be equal or more than to make a change. So there was a study with me, learn about that, about how to change the energy, how to make it more. So when you know you've given something a lot of force, then you've got to go an equal or more than back. And guess what? Most of us don't do it, and most of us put energy out in an angry way rather than in a self-loving way. So what I work to connect with is that passion that you have to bring that with the love to create. And actually, how I teach that is, remember, when you're angry, clean out the energy to make it passion. Passion and anger are very close energetically. And so you can reach passion. No, I won't go there. I had a thought. We want to talk about that. Forgiveness is the first thing. I'm going to do a forerunner today. How much time do I have?
No, I'm
not going to go with that. That's okay. I can go for a reload, because I got something I want to give to the audience, but I want to do this first. If you haven't noticed or gathered, or if you haven't been around me, you'll know that I'm very interested in prosperity. And I was studying at the Religious Science International, the Church Celebration Center in Vancouver for many years. And then one day I heard a lady by the name of Edwin Gaines speaking on prosperity. And when I want to learn something, I go to where I need to learn. So the next thing I know, I'm on a plane to go to Alabama to take her Master's Prosperity Teachers program. Now, one of the reasons I wanted to go, because she's really big talking about tithing, and it was the one thing I had tremendous difficulty with. And probably in some ways, even though I understand it, still do. But I like the concept once I found it out. So anyway, she sent us all who were registered a book that we had to read and a title of which we had to do a 7-minute presentation. Guess what mine was on? Tithing. So I had to learn about it before I even got there. So she teaches a program that I ended up bringing into this book called Spiritual Principles of Wealth. Which I put two parts in it, and also the practicality, which I hope I had time to touch on too. Her first thing, and this one I am so convinced is so important, is forgiveness. I have often spoken here about forgiveness because I run into it so often in my clearing work, whether it is from the Akashic Records, whether it's from other things. If you have a memory in your life, when you look back and you don't want to think about it, you've got energy around it and something needs to be forgiven. And you know what? It's your memory. You need to forgive you. You need to forgive your part in it. You need to forgive where and what. And then when you've forgiven your part of it, even if you're a baby, you were there, then you're going to have the ability to be able to forgive anyone else. I think it's often I read books and they say, they have all these exercises on how to forgive, and I tell you honestly, I tried them, they didn't work. When I forgave myself, then I found it worked. Now my teacher, when I was, because I had quite a bit to do with her for a couple of years, I used to travel and listen to her because I wanted to get this right. She says, you have forgiveness work to do every day. I thought she was nuts. I really did. What do you mean forgiveness every day? That'd be crazy. I was young. Girl. The key is, you do have stuff. I have to forgive myself for being such a silly thing in the bank, being so upset about this money, maybe because I really, it was the deciding factor about Toronto, but still. It was a matter of knowing that you can, because guess what? That entity we talk about that we call God or whatever absolutely loves you, forgiving you for everything you may even think about doing, so never mind. And once you've ever touched into that energy, which I've had the privilege of doing many, many times, is you know that. So it's not about asking for God's forgiveness, it's about forgiving you for getting in your own way and not allowing all that prosperity in the world to come to you. The second one, that technique that she teaches, is goal setting. And I'm not going to talk a lot about goal setting here because there's a lot said about that. But you know, how does God know what you want? It's not a question I ask people all the time. I've had the craziest answers. People that come to see me with their lives absolutely a mess. And I say, well, what is it you want? And they'll say, God knows. Well, you know what my answer is? How does God know? How does God know what it is that you really want? Because in my learning, God knows what you want by how you think, and you need to have clarity. So if you're just a mess and, oh, well, someone's going to come along here and save me someday, sorry. So that's when we get down to the brass tacks of, you know, well, what is it? Often people have to look at what they don't want in order to get to what they do want. And so that becomes really, really important. I just was reading something I've written in the book that's important. I got here. When I was figuring out what let go and let God meant to me, I did not set goals and found I ended up in confusion. I came to understand letting go and letting God was setting my goals and then letting go of trying to figure out how to get them there. Remember that. Let go and let God, which is a famous saying, really means let go how it shows up. But you've got to give the order. Oh, yeah, right. I remember I had written on my little piece of paper, because I don't think I have it in the book, because I don't think I knew it when I wrote this book. You have to decide that's what you want. Now, hear the energy in that. You have to decide. You know, when I set my, this Toronto trip I'll tell you a little bit about, when I set my goals for this year, I thought, it would be really nice to go to Toronto to go to the film festival. It would be really nice, which is in September. And I said to my friends in Toronto, does anyone want to go to the film festival? Because I think I'm going to come out and go to the film festival. So this is probably right around Christmas. Well, lo and behold, what did I find? I found that you admit that I traveled to Calgary twice. I traveled to Regina once. Now, add up airfares. Add up traveling time. Oh, yes, and when I was in Calgary, and never mind going to Calgary for the body, soul, and spirit, and Edmonton, and. Plus, my car broke down in Calgary, and I had to buy another one to get back home. So you can see why I was a little constrained about paying for an airfare to go to Toronto, because my girlfriend emails back and said, are you still coming for the film fest? Because I'm interested in going. So I was really like, And then I'm going, well, I'm prosperous, I create well, yes. And then I get a $300 bill and decide, I don't think so. I think that's my message, not to do that. But you see, the thing was, I hadn't absolutely decided and committed. Oh, by the way, yes, I was in New Zealand for 3 weeks, too. Have I been home? Have you seen me here much? No, because I've been all around, everywhere else, learning, traveling, being. It's been great. But there comes a time, you know, okay, what's most important? But what do you actually decide on? I had a great example of that when I was in New Zealand talking to my sister. The sister I'm very close to is now 81 years old, and I think that's how it works. She's 16 years older than me, anyway. And I said, you know, my dream, now listen to these words, because I tell you, I heard them. Pay attention, right? Everybody pay attention. Do you know that my dream was always to spend several months here every year, and the rest of like in Zen? This be my dream. I went, oh, greatness. Probably said, oh my God, actually. I never decided to do that. It was a dream. Dreams do not come into reality unless you decide to bring them in and make them a practical application. And the interesting thing is, when you make a decision, everything lines up behind you and it happens. That's what, and often I'm sitting there saying, do I really want to decide this? And there's another step I found. People, this is from the readings I've done, they made a decision. They didn't commit to it. There's a level of commitment that you've got to do that. A year ago, my daughter decided it was time for her to visit New Zealand again and said, well, why don't you come down with me? And she booked I paid for my flight and she booked her on points. Then her husband decided he wanted to go too. Complication one. So he's going to come too, says me. Well, all through this whole year, I knew what date we were leaving, I knew what date I was coming back, because they were going to go into Australia, but no, I got only 3 weeks, I think, at that time. I got to get back, because I've got the shows coming up that I go and do. I rented a car, had it ready to be ready for me. 3 weeks before we're going to go, my daughter says, we're not going. She'd made the decision to go, but she wasn't 100% committed to go for various reasons, which we won't go into. So I went by myself, which is fine. I've been by myself many, many times. But I'm really looking at making a decision about being able to spend time down there more, because even we're all getting older. My eldest sister is 86 now. And I'm hoping my younger sister, who's like my second mom, will be here next summer. I'm working on that first, and then I'm going to decide. So decisions, when you want your goals, if they're not coming in, take a look. Did I really decide that? Am I committed to that? What am I willing to give up? That's what I was looking at about Toronto. Do I really want to go? And also I've been traveling so much, I'm just enjoying so much of being home. By the way, as an announcement, I'm having another English tea party at my place, 23rd of July, Friday afternoon. I can't have it any later than that because I'm leaving for Vancouver. And then the last Saturday in July, our third annual barbecue at my place. Several birthdays to celebrate, all sorts of other things. Please plan on coming. I've got a big enough yard, bring your chair, you have lots of room. And your meat and your food to share. So, announcement done. Let's go to tithing for a minute. How am I doing? 5 minutes I've got. I got a little thing I want to do later. And it works in perfect. Oh, thank you for the timing. Now, people say big churches, right? They talk about tithing. Do you know that in the Jewish religion, it's a natural thing? In the Muslim religion, it's a natural thing. Everyone tithes automatically, given right off the top. 10% goes to your spiritual source. When I was taught this, and I talk about it a lot more than I will here in the book, is it's about your spiritual source. So for instance, I have in my head how much I give to the center a month. To me, it's like a bill, because I want to support the center. And sometimes I give more because it's really been a spiritual source for me. But sometimes it's an author of a book, sometimes it's a friend, sometimes it's many things. And I must admit, well, sometimes I'm very good at it, and sometimes I'm not. And when I'm not, this is what I've often noticed, because we were taught this, is that 10% belongs to God of what you earn. When you get businesses, it's a little bit different, but that's why they set up these big organizations where they distribute money, because that's what happens from the main company. They just send their 10% over. And the old wealth money knows this. They know how to utilize it. And us guys that don't have it much, or that much, we kind of go, oh, but I can use that. But what happened, it's like a plug in the flow of what's coming to you. And when you have wages, I know, but you know, there's so many miracle things that can happen. I had so many miracles that happened in my life when I was in Calgary and my car was just broke down at 11 at night and angel appeared in a tow truck. He took it to another place that where there were two angels. They got me a car that had enough money on me at that moment because I knew that had gone to the bank. Made it so I could get home. Over and over and over. It's like you deposit in the bank account. When you want it, it comes out. And now we put our money in for savings. Interestingly enough, I'm saving money towards a new car. I just love this. And when you need it, it's there. And you can think of the same way. When you're recognizing God in action and everything around you, you can all of a sudden find it's coming back to you in these things we call miracles. Via people who, at that moment, for you, are little angels. Now, I've got something here I wanted to do, and I'm going to do it right now, because can you do something for me? And then there's a bowl with some envelopes. Now, I'd like you to, everyone to take one. Just hand it, and if you could play that song for me, please.
First.
You can open it. You can read the card, and there'll be something else in that envelope for you. And we're going to talk about it in a minute.
Thank you.
everybody opened up and read their card? Does it relate to you? I would think that. I have these little cards, I sell them. I created them this a year going to the Body, Soul, and Spirit Exposure. I always feel, you know, I go there and people pay really good money to come and see me at those because I've had to travel, at booth costs, et cetera, et cetera. And I always feel that you need something small. And most people don't do that anymore. What a lot of people don't know is I used to produce those shows and I had lots of free stuff. And there's no free stuff anymore. So I made these at the very, almost the eve of leaving. I made up this 32, from the tarot, 32 different sayings. And I ran them off and we put them in envelopes and we found some stickers and we put them in front of them. And I sell them. And I have them at the market for a dollar. I've got some people that come by now to pick one up every week just to give a check of where they're at. But also, you would have found something else in your envelopes. How many people were surprised? And there's all different kinds. I sat there last night, actually, and then from a cent. And did anybody get higher than, what did you get? You got a 20. What did you get? You got a 2. How much? You got a 20. Okay.
I got 5.
You got 5. And you got a dollar.
25.
25. A dime. 25. Anybody get a 10?
I got a 10.
You got a dime, yes. And you got a $10 bill? Yeah, great. Anyone get a higher one than 20? There was another one in there. Oh, that means it's for me. Anybody gets higher than 20? Yeah. There was one $100 bill in there.
No.
I have spent, since I knew I was going to do this talk, all sorts of ways of how to get somebody get a $100 bill. And I thought this would be fair, everybody would get something. From a cent up to 100. So they're for you with my love and my blessing, and just know that you're able to do that. So I want to, what's the couple of exercises I wanted to do, just trying to think. Let me talk about this. Somebody will make some new cards out with no money in them for the market next week. When I was teaching the four principles, I haven't talked about divine purpose. The other one of being in sync is that you're in your divine purpose. And I have to tell you that every time I have tried not to be in my divine purpose is when my life has really not worked. When I have forgotten what I know, when I have stepped away from doing different things, and it's like, no matter what, I'm laid back into this work. And it was 7 years ago when I went bankrupt that I was struggling on so many levels. And I look back, it'll be just this December, and I look back at that and again, circumstances, running across a psychic that used to work for me, giving me the phone number of someone else who was doing moles, which I instigated years, way back in the 70s. And all of a sudden, I was back working and making enough money to survive. Was survival then? Because I was also looking after two other people as well at the same time. And so I had to go back to basics. I had to go back to what did I really know worked, which is the philosophy that I have in the tarot, how everything comes. But anyway, and so divine purpose, I got back on purpose. And in the book, there's a really neat exercise on how you can discover what your divine purpose basically is to give you a guideline as to the direction. But during that, I spent one whole summer, before this time when I was writing this book, I spent a whole summer working on prosperity, using the Little Green Abundance book by John Randolph Price and the 40-day exercise he has in there. I went through that twice. And I read through that, actually, I wrote this book. But also, I also came up with what I call an abundant creation triangle as to what we need to do to create prosperity and joy. And prosperity is just not money, by the way. That's a real material manifestation, but it's how we feel and how life works. And when those angels show up for you to show, oh, this is how it works. First of all, you got to know you deserve it. That's the forgiveness. You got to know you deserve. You are absolutely loved by the divine God. You need to know that so that you deserve it. Get clear. If you haven't cleared out your stuff that says you are undeserving, then find people like myself and other workers that can do it fast. You do not have to be in pain. Then you got to allow it. Now that takes care of this brings up big things in the controlling department. That you got to figure out how you're going to do it. Controllers hate to give control because they live in fear. They live in fear of right, wrong. They live in fear of how it may be. Rather than allowing the essence of God going through. I know what I want. I just got to go step by step by step. But this is the one that I found the most difficult for the majority of people to receive joyously. How many found it really strange when they opened that envelope and some money also came out? Yeah, like, what is it? Come on, hands up high. Wait a minute. Yeah, are we used to receiving things like that? Some of you were surprised at the amount, right? Jeepers, I really wanted someone to get that $100. Oh, well. I had that thought this morning. Well, maybe it's me. Maybe because I had more in case there were more people. If it doesn't go, I get, oh, I guess it's me. I get it. I receive very well. And what I have found a lot, and I found a lot of really people who have studied spirituality and being really involved in spirituality, and you know what? They don't want to receive because they have this misguided idea that it's all about giving. Sure, we give. But when you're claiming it, and I was going to talk about power today, but I'm not getting there today. We'll do that another time. But when we're in our power, we know how to give, and we also know how to receive in an effective way. So again, exercises on that. So don't do that. No. So I had this all figured out on my book, what page to go to. That lovely thing I didn't do. Oh, vision. I've got, what, about 10 more minutes? Okay. So will that be enough time? Okay. If I end it early, it's okay. I would like you to close your eyes. We're going to do some visualizations around receiving because I find very often this is the one that people trip up on. Make yourselves comfy. When you're really good at visualizing, you can visualize with your eyes open. Whatever you're doing, you can visualize beyond that. Though they do say, and then close it and make sure. I want you to imagine yourself in an orchard filled with money trees. You walk along or walk around the orchard, taking the money off the trees. And you can either put it in an apron you're wearing or a bag you are carrying. But what I want you to do is to feel the joy and the excitement as you gather the money from the trees and having it close to you. Take a breath. Just notice how you feel. Imagine you're outside in the fall raking leaves, except what you are raking towards you is money, lots of it. Rake it into big piles around you. Feel how good it feels to have all this money. And when you have all the piles around you, you may want to play in them by throwing the money in the air, allowing it to fall all around and on top of you. Now I want you to take it, I just again want you to watch, and I just had a little mental to remind people that money equals the energy of God. It's just an energy that flows in between us. We don't, as I tell people sometimes, I don't want your pig, so you give me money so I can go buy my cow. That's where the money is. So it's the energy of exchange, it's the energy of God. So this time I want you to imagine you are on a beach. And the waves are breaking all around you. And these are the waves of money coming towards you. Allow them to break around you. Feel how it feels to have all this money continuously and forever, like the ocean breaking all around you. See the continuum. And how does that feel? Some of us, many of us in this room, live by not knowing where that next one's coming from, so we just know it's like the ocean, that it comes in unexpectedly. I went from finding pennies on the ground to finding dimes recently. That was nice. 9 more pennies, I'd be fine. Take another breath. Imagine you are in a bathtub, and this is a bathtub full of new money. Find people, I have to read that really clear for that. Make a bathtub full of new money, and feel how good it feels to have all that clean, new money close by you. You see, a lot of people have grown up with ideas and concepts about money. Filthy money, dirty rich people, people only take advantage. Forgetting that it's not the money, it's the people. I have known very wealthy people that have tremendous hearts and tremendously strive for everything in the sense of humanity. And I found some very wealthy people that are absolutely mean and horrible. I have known poor people the same way. It is not about the money. I found, having had both, that I prefer to have it. It makes life a lot easier. But this last exercise is one that I love the most, and I used it a lot over the years. Imagine all your bills piled up beside you. Take a big red stamp that says, paid in full. Take each bill and stamp it, knowing, remember, deciding, it is paid. Feel the gratitude when you know your bills are paid in full. And then you take a breath again. How many of you were surprised at how you felt when you went through those exercises, anyone? I hope you all like the feeling that you have. You like it? Good. That's what we want. I've got one more thing I want to do here, and it's sort of connecting to the abundance vibration. Because what we want is we want to reflect in our life. We want to have, this is where my practical spirituality is, we want the life to reflect who you truly are. We want it to be working. We want, and you know what? It doesn't mean that everything works seamlessly. It means that you're able to deal with what comes up. There's solutions. There's ways that you see. And I found through the tarot, it's taught me actually, that everything adds. And you learn that everything adds. But all of us we don't want to be stressed. When I get stressed, I'm not pleasant. And we don't want to be stressed. We want to be flowing and dealing and coping and knowing that everything is flowing with ease. So if you would just close your eyes for me, then please. I want you to breathe just gently and easily and allow yourself to relax. To relax into you. Allow your mind to float free. To go higher and higher to the vibration of total abundance. Allow yourself to feel the wonderful feeling of abundance. Feel how it feels. Then be aware of bringing the vibration down into your body. As you breathe it down into the cells of your body, become aware of changing your magnetic structure so that you create a magnetic vibration of abundance. Become that. Allow that, because you deserve it. We deserve the miracles. And we can live and walk knowing that those miracles will take place, that we'll be brought where we need to be brought, where we will have what we can have. So just take a nice deep breath. And I'm going to leave that at that place. And just say, if any of you are interested, I've got some of these green books that I read from, and my little blue one there, which I've got on for a sale price for you. And Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Norbert. Fantastic talk. And I did get some stuff out of that information. And you were talking about money and prosperity and tithing. And now, you have to remember, I was married quite young. I was married, I think, when I was 10 years old. Because this August will be our 48th year of marriage. And I remember very early in our marriage, the first few years, we certainly did not have very much money. And my wife, I was thinking, you know, what can I get Sharon for Christmas one year? And I was thinking, you know, I don't really have the money to buy an expensive gift for her. How can I please her? Because Christmas to me has always been my best day. And it's always been my best day because I love giving. And I get the excitement out of seeing people's eyes light up when you give, and especially children at Christmas time. So I'm worried about what am I going to give Sharon this Christmas? So I thought, I've got an idea. And I went and bought one of those little Christmas trees, and I went to the bank, and I got new bills of every denomination from one. This is back when they had a $1 bill, they had a $2 bill. I got a nice crisp $1 bill, crisp $2 bill, crisp $5, a $10, a $20. And a 50. I may have bought maybe one or two of them or whatever. And I put them on this Christmas tree and I put it in a box. And that was a Christmas present. Now today, if I went back to Sharon tonight and said, Sharon, think in your heart what your best Christmas gift was, she would remember that first, that Christmas. Another thing, Norma, you were talking about New Zealand. And when I was doing a lot of consulting work, I used to travel all over North America. And I used to drag Sharon along to all these conventions. But there were conventions in North America, like Toronto and Los Angeles and New Orleans and type of thing. So about 10 or 15 years ago, we were at home and Sharon said, hey, I would like to go to one of my conventions. Do you think we can go? And I said, well, I don't know, where is it? She said, Australia. I said, no, we can't go to Australia. We don't have the money to go to Australia. So she left it at that and never said another word about it. And I got thinking about it, Australia. Could we go to Australia? So I called my travel agent. I said, hey, Fancy, have I got any air miles? I said, I'm thinking about going to Australia. She said, Neil, you've got, not only do you have air miles, but you've got enough air miles for you and Sharon to go to Australia first class. So we went to Australia. But that's not the kicker. At that time, I had one of these little, stupid little planners. This is before all this, internet stuff and all this stuff. And I was cleaning out the memory on it because it had a very, you know, short memory. And what was one of the things in my memory was, Neil, I'd like to go to Australia. And that was maybe 2 years before that we went to Australia. And being positive, Norma, I would like to also mention that I sympathize with you on your tickets. But you have to keep a positive mind